Okay, as you may have noted, during this month, we've had different individuals come up, just normal folks, and give a little something about what they feel their mission is. So with that, let's see. Well, let's get right into things here. Okay. Well, number one, let's see. Like I said, my name is Randy Thornton. I'm sometimes known as the kindergarten, you know, the guy down in the basement, okay, when I'm here most of the time. I'm also known to be a big Cubs fan. Go Cubs. All right. And, hey, Chris Bryant, good things coming. He hit his first home run in spring training yesterday, so good things coming. Okay. Some people know that I was in the service. I was on submarines. I was in the Navy, so they know me as that veteran. Some people know me as the guy that worked at the power plant and kept your lights going or had them go off occasionally. Sorry about that. So I'm also known as a father, as a grandfather, and I love being a grandfather. Ooh, man, that's great. But I am a bunch of different things. And these are the things I'm known as in different parts of the community. What we're going to be talking about today is, if we really have Christ in us, what should we be known as? Okay? So I want to start off reading a couple of items. They're from some news articles that I've read here in the not-too-distant past. First one goes like this. It's about 4 years ago this month that Bashir Kamel went on television and thanked so-called Islamic State terrorists for not editing out the last words of his brother and the other Egyptian men they beheaded on a beach in Libya. "Lord Jesus Christ," were the last words of these Coptic Christians slaughtered because of their faith. The courage and integrity of their witness strengthened Kamel's faith. "We are proud to have this number of people from our village who have become martyrs," he said, after his brother's murder. Since the Roman era, Christians have been martyrs and have learned to handle everything that comes our way. This only makes us stronger in our faith because the Bible told us to love our enemies and bless those who curse us. He further explained that his mother is prepared to, listen to this, welcome any of the men who were involved in her son's beheading. One of them, if they were to visit her, she said, she would ask God to open his eyes because he was the reason her son entered the kingdom of heaven. This is from National View back in February of 2017. Closer to home. This is from Fox News from October 2015. Life or death was determined by the answer to a single question. Are you a Christian? That was the question asked by an anti-Christian gunman who stormed into a classroom in Oregon's Umpqua Community College. Courtney Moore was inside that classroom. She told the Roseburg News Review that the shooter ordered students to get on the ground. Then he told them to stand up and state their religion. And they would stand up and he would say, "Good, because you're a Christian, you're going to see God in just one more second." Stacy Bolin said in a televised report, and then he shot and killed them. His 18-year-old daughter was struck in the back by a bullet that traveled down her spine. She survived. Miss Moore, too, survived. Now, Davis Jacks, publisher of the Roseburg Beacon News, said he received a text message from another student who said that when she was inside the classroom, quote, "the shooter was lining people up and asking if they were Christians. If they said yes, then they were shot in the head. If they said no or didn't answer, they were shot in the leg. Christians were martyred for their faith on American soil, a fact mostly ignored by the mainstream media." Again, that's from Fox. That's from October 2nd, 2015. Okay, so we're going to be talking about martyrs today and about how we can become martyrs, Not that we need to go out and have our heads cut off or anything like that, but okay. So martyrdom. Okay. Now, some of these people were martyrs. If you look at the Bible, okay, the apostles. Who were the apostles? Who were these Christians? Who were these followers of Christ, these disciples? Okay. They had occupations too, just like I've had an occupation. They had occupations. Okay, let's think of some. Let's see. Well, some of them were fishermen, of course. We know about Peter and his brother and all of them. Okay. Tax collectors, tent makers. We even had a political zealot, if you'll remember, Simon the Zealot. There was a lawyer in there, a soldier. I don't know how a lawyer got in there. Okay, a soldier and even a doctor. Those are just a few of the names, okay? Now, do we remember these gentlemen as and ladies as tent makers? Do we remember them as soldiers, lawyers, fishermen? No. No. The New Testament, we don't remember them as that. We remember them by the one thing they had in common. They had Christ in them. And many of them were martyred in the physical sense. Okay, getting back to martyr. Let's see. In Easton's Bible Dictionary, it describes martyrdom as one of two things. First, one who bears witness, get that, one who bears witness of the truth. And we all know what that truth is. That truth is Christ. And suffers even death in the cause of Christ. We're all going to die someday. In a sense, if we live a life with Christ in us, we, in fact, become martyrs. Second definition from Easton's Bible Dictionary describes it as of one bearing testimony, or witness again, testimony to the truth that he has seen or known. He, known, has seen or known. Do we know Christ? Do we have Christ in us? If we do, and we live that, we become martyrs. Okay. Some people that we support. We have the, let's see, we have, here we go. First of all, I want to talk about Christ in us. Christ in us. Okay. Paul talks a lot about having Christ in us. And it's very important. You've got to realize that you're a temple. You know, it's not just about being a friend of Christ, not just being about a follower of Christ. Paul says that if we truly are believers and have accepted the Lord and are redeemed, that Christ is in us. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test. 2 Corinthians 4:6-7. For God who said, let the light shine out of darkness, made his light to shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, that's our bodies, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Christ in us. It's not us. It's all about Christ. Romans 8:10. But if Christ is in you, if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Galatians 1:15-16. But when God, who set me apart, that's Paul, though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of... Oh, wait a minute. I got this all wrong. Hold on. Galatians 1, 15 through 16. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. Okay, amongst the Gentiles. We remember that, you know, when things first started out, okay, Jesus Christ, his primary audience was the Israelites, the Jewish community. Okay, and Peter wanted to keep that going, did he? Not pretty much. But after the Lord's ascension into heaven, what's the last part of Matthew? Go out into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, he will be with you always. Okay, not just, it wasn't just for the Jewish nation anymore. It was for all of us, for the Gentiles, the formerly unbelieving. So I might preach him among the Gentiles. Okay. We have lots of Gentiles around us now. This country is becoming more and more a Gentile nation. There are less and less true believers. Your neighbor across the street, that person helping you with the groceries, a guy, the mechanic, a lot of them don't know God. Not a lot of them haven't heard about God. They know about church, but they don't know about the Lord. They don't know about Christ. If you have Christ in you, that can change. Okay, so let's go ahead and get to our missionaries, some of the stuff they do. Okay, let's see. We've got Matt and Katie Riley. They're with the Longside Ministries to France. Matt and Katie, they went to our church here for a period of time while they went to Trinity. After they got out, I'll even read from his little gizmo here. Okay. We are the Rileys, Matt and Katie and Micah and Ella and Annalise and Sophia. They've been busy. I have been married 18 years, and during that time, we have worked in the secular workplace. Hear that? Secular workplace. Went into the seminary. Served as an overseas church plant intern. Okay, we as a church, as a denomination, we have short-term interns. We're supporting one now in Hannah Gibbs. We also have visa missions where you go out for a week, 2 weeks. We've done that. We've had people go to Papua New Guinea to help out. We've had people to go to the Dominican Republic, all sorts of different places. So he did some of that. And then he was a full-time minister in Florida for over 4 years. But he got a calling. He got a calling to go back to France. And that's where he is right now. So we need to pray for him. The Mellingers and other folks. Hey, they come from here. They were part of us. Al and Diane. Brian. He's still helping me downstairs with the kids each week. And boy, he's there. He's there all the time, always there. So, but anyway, Al and Diane, part of our church in more ways than one, they're in Bulgaria. And, you know, when they got started, they were going around and doing different things, the things that you would think that, most missionaries try to do. And they found out that some of that stuff wasn't working. So what they decided to do was create a thing called New Start. It's a company where they allow people to do creative things and create a livelihood for these different groups. And, you know, what we call a micro enterprise, a business. And through that, people have come to Christ. Not just being a preacher, not just being a missionary. Okay, it's more than that. It's being with people, showing that Christ is in you. And in whatever endeavor you take on. They also work with the St. John Safe Homes for Girls, and of course, he does preach at the. Did I pronounce this right, Petrich Church. Thank you. Doug and Barb went to visit him just last year, so you can find out more. Okay, the Rainans. We support the Rainans. I noticed on the bulletin this morning. If you look at the back of your bulletins, look at this. Alan and Diane, once part of Wesley family. Matt and Katie Riley, once part of the Wesley family. Dave and Vernie Greenleaf, they are in Europe, but they were here too for a while. Unnamed family, once part of the Wesley family. The Clement family, once part of the Wesley family. Then you have the Rainans, and then you have the Paganis, all part of, once part of the Wesley family. They're in Melrose. These are all people we support. Do you notice something kind of interesting there? All of these people were here. All of these people were a part of you. And they've all decided to go out into the world and show how Christ is in them through their mission work. So those are just a few. We have Hannah Gibbs. We just started supporting. She's going to go over here and be with Mike and Katie Riley in France. And you know how she's going to do things? Did you know that she is going to be a child's English instructor? She's already joining their running club. And she's very adept with music. She plays the piano really well, I understand. I've heard. And she's going to be a music teacher. All that to say that she's not going to be going over there just to be one of those things. No, she's going to be those things, but she's also going to show people how Christ is in her, and hopefully people will come to know Christ through her. See where I'm going with this? We all have things that we are. We all have things that we do. We all are known as certain persons that do, play, love certain things. But that doesn't mean our primary purpose can't be having Christ in us and bringing Christ out to others. Okay, how do we do this? How do we do this? Okay. A few years ago, the missions for the conference for Free Methodist Church had this little logo. It's called Pray, Give, and Go. Okay. So, what's meant by this? What are some examples? Does it require that we go like some of these missionaries and go to some maybe dark continent and, you know, help the natives out? No. Does it mean that we go to some other country or even across the nation and do different things? It'd be great, but no, that's not necessarily what it means. We have a good news starved country right here. Like that song said, right here in this city, okay? And we, as martyrs, like we've described before, can go out and show Christ in us. Okay, do you have Christ in you? Okay, this can be evidenced by prayer. It can be evidenced by giving. And it can be evidenced by going. Okay, prayer. I always think prayer comes first. First thing the Lord did, go up on a mountain, pray. By the seaside, pray. Garden Gethsemane, pray. Let's see, it actually says, I have it here somewhere. Okay, here we go. So, when you get up in the morning, I have a calendar, okay? And you can get one too. It's a calendar of missionaries. I'm going to put it up on my refrigerator. When you get up in the morning, go out there, look at the refrigerator. Hey, take a few minutes, pray for our missionaries. If you're wondering what our missionaries are involved in, okay, take a few moments, read the newsletter, which you can get. And if you don't know how to get a newsletter, Doug Hobby can direct you. We're going to help you out with that. And if they sent that, open it up. Or the website, if they have a website, okay, that they may have provided, sit down and pray for them. Okay. Might want to get up a little earlier on a Sunday morning. We have a prayer before service. Get up a little earlier. Get up at 9:30. Get back there and pray. Sunday nights, what, 6 p.m., we're still doing that. Come in. Pray. Wherever two or more are gathered, there I shall be also. That goes with prayer too, so pray. It says in Thessalonians 5:17, get this, never stop praying. Another way it says it is pray continually. That's the NIV version. King James, pray without ceasing. The Message, pray all the time. Well, those are a bunch of different words, just like we're different. But you know what? It's different ways of saying the same thing. Just as God has made you all different versions of His image, but we're all needing to do the same thing. If Christ is in you, you pray. Pray a lot. Pray all the time. Give. Okay, well, you know, missionaries and missions people, you know, we're known for wanting you to give your money. But that's not the primary thing. It's not the primary thing. Yeah, I'm not talking just about money. You know, if you want to make a difference in this city, this is what you got to do. You got to give up some of your time. Go out and talk to that neighbor across the way. You know, he might be out there shoveling snow or raking leaves, watering the yard. You know, planting something. All to say that it's not just at one time. You see your neighbor all the time. Summer, winter, spring, fall. You need to get out there and show that neighbor that you have Christ in you. Make relationships. Another one is just showing up. I tell people that ask about my father's business that meets on Friday night. Well, we don't know what we can do. I'm not a basketball person. I'm not this. I'm not that. Well, guess what? Those kids love it when people just show up and show they care. And it's amazing the response you will feel, you will see, if you just come and watch for a little bit. Just show up. And that's not the only place you can just show up. I mean, we have all sorts of support groups here. Let's see. We've got, I mentioned my father's business. We've got a safe place. You guys know about the safe place, I hope. You know about, what are some others? Oh, PADS. We've had PADS here before. You know, just because PADS isn't here at this church doesn't mean that we can't still associate with PADS. PADS is at other churches. They always need volunteers to come and watch overnight or make some meals and do stuff like that. Something you can do. A safe place. Okay. A few years back, they needed some painting at the safe place. We had some folks come, if you know how to paint, come on out. There's different things you can do to show your compassion and show that Christ is in you. Safe place is another example. That's where people that have had part of domestic violence put on them, that's where they go, okay? Let's see another place. Oh, Teen Challenge, okay, which is kind of a misnomer. It started out as for teens, but it's for everyone who has some type of substance abuse. You can help them out. We have something here the church supports. International Child Care Ministries, and along with that, we have Compassion International, either one, where you support a child in another country. Give a little bit. But it's not just the giving there, even. You know, they write letters to you. You can write back and forth. You can let them know how you're praying for them, how you're watching after them. It's not just that part. You're giving that. Let's see. Family Resource Center. So that's another place. Fit Moms, Kids Hope, which Barb has talked about earlier. There's all sorts of things you guys can get involved in. But the primary thing is having Christ in you and Christ in the city right here, right now. So, okay, so that's the given part. Okay, there's another part of giving, you know that. And that part is giving others a chance to help you. when you're struggling, when you need prayer, by prayer and petition. Because there are those of us in this church sitting in this pews right now that are hurting. And if we show that we're hurting, that'll give others a chance to help. Now, last one is go. There are different ways to go. Like I said before, you can go on the internet, find out how our missionaries are coping. Go out the front door, engage your neighbor, like we said before. Okay. I mentioned the MFB kids. And as I mentioned before, you know, it's kind of unfortunate as events may take each of us at one time or another. There are always going to be others less fortunate because they don't know Christ. Christ isn't in them to act as a guide, to console, to redeem, to repair. A lot of us have had those same struggles. Go out and share some of those trials, some of those tribulations that God has allowed us to experience so that others may see that what those experiences have done to show that God is both merciful and to show God's grace. He wants that from us. Okay, we're not a bunch of scrub Christians. We just show all the white stuff. You know, sometimes we've got to show the dirt too, because that dirt, the only way that gets cleaned up is through Jesus Christ. And others aren't going to know that. They're, oh, yeah, he's, you know, they just go to church and this and that. No, they're all so good. They don't know what I'm going through. Not true. We all have our issues. We've all gone through things that we can help others with by showing how Christ has helped us. Be open. Go. Okay, here we go. Here's a quote from Keith Green. It goes along with this. It's one of my wife's favorites. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. So, if we really have Christ in us, it'll be time to quit playing church and start being the church. If we have Christ in us, we will be the church. So, all right. One last thing before we go with our last song here. There may be some here that may not feel that Christ is actually in them. Now's the time. Now's the time to open that door. Ask the Lord in. To quote C.S. Lewis, God made us, he invented us as a man invents an engine. In this case, a gasoline engine. A car is made to run on gasoline, and it would not run properly on anything else. Now, God has designed the human machine to run on who? Himself. Christ. He himself is the fuel our spirits are designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. And guess what? Ultimately, there's no other way. So if you haven't accepted Christ, if you don't feel that Christ is in you, now is the time. Now is the time. With that, Pastor. Oh, don't forget. I forgot to do my missions international pledge card. I'm going to do that right now. There's a little box in the back. If you guys want to do that too, just put your name, address. You don't even have to do that. As long as you got a name and some sort of an amount, that'd be good. Okay. Ooh, they make you multiply on this thing, huh? Gee.
While he's doing that, I'm going to ask you a favor. Go ahead. Is there anything else there, Randy?
No, nothing else. Oh, yeah, we have the potluck in the back. Lots of soups, lots of sandwiches. Go out there, have a good time. We have displays in the back to show what we're doing on the missions team. go back there and have a great lunch and have a good time, and don't let the wind blow you out the door too soon.
You know, the last thing we wanted our missionaries to feel, and they do feel this, I'm all alone. I'm out here by myself. That's the last thing we want them to experience, right? And it's sometimes tough for them. There's some of them are living nickel to nickel. That's how come we're doing this. That's why we're asking if you can give above and beyond. Look at that card and maybe donate. But if you would, I'd like to ask you, if Pew Bible, turn to page 1251. For those of you who have your own Bible, it'll be Revelations chapter 20. So 1251 in the Pew Bible, Revelations chapter 20. I'm going to be reading verse 4. Okay. This is the Apostle John standing before the throne of God. This is what he sees, and this is the way he's describing it. I saw thrones on which were seated those who have been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who have been what? Beheaded. We're in that hour right now. Beheaded. Because of their what? Some says faith. What does another version say? Witness. Testimony. Do you know what that word is in the Greek, whether it's testimony or witness? Listen to this. See if you can associate it with an English word. Martyria. Martyria. Martyr. Martyr. Please hear me. Where did many of these missionaries that he just shared start from? Our church. We've got quite a legacy, right? But please hear me on this. They could not go out there and be a witness out there unless they were a witness here to begin with, right? And what we need to make sure, each and every one of us, is that we have a testimony, that we are witnessing. That's the same word. One of the things that's hurting the church today is too many Christians are afraid to witness. And they fail to understand it's a part of your calling. Because the Greek word is martyria. There's supposed to be a willingness within us, right here in the United States, where we're willing to be a martyr for our faith by sharing Christ. But too many of us are afraid. I really believe a part of the reason why there isn't revival is simply because God's people are letting fear rule their life instead of faith. I'm going to share two stories with you real quick, and then we'll close. Many years ago when I was in college, I was paying my own way to try and make it through the university. And so I didn't have money for a plane ticket, so I had to go Greyhound. By the time I'm done with this story, you're not going to want to ride Greyhound. But this one time, I get into the bus station, and there's this, say there's just a bunch of individual seats here, and there's this Muslim sitting here spouting off all sorts of stuff, and when I heard him, I came in and I sat here, and I just let him talk. Allah, you need to serve him. He had more courage for his faith than Christians do for our faith. But I was looking for my opportunity. And I just let him spout off, and then he started saying, you shouldn't believe in the Bible because it's full of myths, contradictions, things that aren't true. Well, I had my Bible. And so in front of everybody, I said to him, could you do me a favor? What's that? Here's my Bible. Could you just share just one example of a contradiction? He starts thumbing through, going to Isaiah. Just show me one. You said it's full of contradictions. And the crowd began to laugh. Another story. These people, we need to take a stand against. Another time, I'm on the Greyhound bus, and very rarely do I do this. But I decided I'm going to sit right in the front seat. So you know how they got that big window, and I'm taking it all in. Driving from here to California. And we pull into some place, and I think it was St. Louis, Missouri. Matter of fact, I'm sure of it was. And there was this group of people. You could see they're all huddled together. They had something planned, but you don't know what it is. The bus driver opens the door. He doesn't even get down to he got down to the last step, and this lady came up to him. And this is what she said. You see all those people in the first half of the bus? You're to move them to the back of the bus. Because see all of us? We know each other. We don't know any of them. So you push them to the back for us. Of course, the rest of us on the bus are going, really? You arrogant woman. And the bus driver said this. If you don't want to sit with them, don't ride the bus. About that time, you can almost hear. So anyhow, I began praying. And guess what my prayer was for that lady? She needed prayer. This was my prayer. Dear Jesus, please help that woman not sit with me. Not sit with me. I don't want any trouble. They start loading on. And I'm not exaggerating. She comes up. Goes just like this, stops right by the first seat. She goes, Lord, you did not answer my prayer. That was not what I prayed for. And so the one good thing, if we really have faith, is we know this. If you get just about the opposite of what you're asking for, there's probably a good chance God is at work. And you need to catch on. You need to say to yourself, wait a minute. So the bus pulls out. And I'm praying for her. And then I felt this on my heart. Witness to her. And I didn't do this, but on the inside I'm doing this. Did you just see what she did? I can't witness to her. So I ignored it. Then I felt again on my heart, tugging. Witness to her. This is a part of being a missionary here in the United States. Again, I said no. Finally, the third time. So this is what I said. Lord, you saw what she did. You saw the commotion. But I said, my Bible's under my seat. I'm going to pull it out, and I'm going to open it up and read it. And if she asks me some questions about the Bible, then I'll witness to her. So I pulled out my Bible. This woman with this attitude goes, I know something's coming. And then she says this to me. My sister has been telling me I need to be born again. As if I didn't know that already. She says, I ain't going to heaven unless I know Jesus. What do you think about that? About that time, I looked up and I said, I can't believe this is happening. All on the inside, of course. But at the same time, I'm floored. Floored. So I opened up my Bible and I said to her, if you're not born again, Jesus said that, right? We're not saying you don't make it to heaven. Jesus says you're not making it to heaven if you're not born again. So I witnessed to her. Now keep in mind, by this time we're on the road driving, and the very bus driver who just told her, if you don't like it, get on the bus, you know he's hearing every word of this. So I witnessed to her. You need to ask Christ to be your Savior. If you don't, your sins will never be forgiven. Allah cannot pardon away your sin. Buddha cannot pardon away your sin. Jesus Christ is the only one who can pardon away your sin. His blood has the power to do it. That's why it was shed on a cross for you. And it means that you need to then take time to follow him, grow in him. And so after I witnessed to her, I said, would you like to ask Christ to be your Savior? She bowed her head for a second. She thought about it. She looked at me. She said, I would. So right there, she went in a sinner's prayer that she received Jesus. Missionary starts here. And that's what each and every one of you are to be. And you're supposed to be willing to accept if there are consequences that come with it. Martyria. If we aren't willing to do that, we'll never be the witness God is calling us to be. Amen?